There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Friday style. Glad to have you along. Remember, streaming online at fmtalk1065.com. Or if after you hear the conversation that Steve Joynt and I have from the Mobile Mask and you want to share some Mardi Gras intel information with family and friends, you can always go back and grab the podcast over at fmtalk1065.com. Just click the podcast tab, or you can subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Deezer. I mean, if I miss one, we're pretty much, Dalton has us on every platform out there. So subscribe. And yeah, like I said, my buddy Steve Joynt, Mobile Mask. Hey, man.
Hey, what is that called? Sullivanopod?
we just call it the Midday Mobile Podcast.
Gosh, that's like you could have done. That's awfully simple, don't you think?
Wouldn't it
just
be
make a weird word that sounds like
some kind of invertebrate or
critter?
Yeah. I mean, because I would think, like, Mobile Mask Podcast, that's too pedestrian. The Maskapod or
Maskapod.
Something.
I like it.
I don't know. It's like something we dissected. You and I were discussing that as well in high school. All right. It's a lot, obviously, to talk about. And you and I, in the past, have talked about every week we'd be talking about what was happening in the Mardi Gras schedule. And we're still talking about what's happening. You know, on your Facebook page, that's happening. People are picking up Mobile Mask. They've been in stores now a couple weeks.
Yep.
They can pick up the Mobile Mask, because what we're talking about here with Moon Pie Minute is what you're talking about with Mobile Mask too. The story of Mardi Gras is still you can't cancel Mardi Gras.
Right.
You can say there's no parade, there's no this, there's no, you can't cancel Mardi Gras.
And this year's story is being written as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's kind of history happening in front of your face. Mm-hmm. And there, I feel a little vindicated in that some of the things that I thought / said out loud to my cats are coming true. For example, I said to people who sell king cakes, I said, you're going to sell more king cakes than you even used to.
Mm-hmm.
And people who sell decorations and stuff like that, I was like, dude, I think you're going to get a lot of action this year. And sure enough, Toomey's has been, the people at Toomey's are telling me, oh, my Lord, it's just so busy all the time. And they're selling decorations.
So they're maybe shifting in what, instead of cases of beads.
Right. Right. They're selling decorations.
Because, you know, in the past, we've left that to the crews. You know, they do all this decoration. We get to go see it. Right. And I guess people now are insourcing it or bringing it, you know, doing it themselves.
And here's the big hope on my part that... And there are a lot of things that have happened during the pandemic that I've wondered, gee, I wonder when this is all over, will we still be doing that?
Uh-huh.
Will we still be getting takeout a lot? You know, have we learned that curbside service is something we want all the time?
Mm-hmm.
I think a big one is, have a lot of companies finally figured out that they can leave their employees at home? And work product does not fall. In fact, it goes up a little bit, and their employees are happy.
There's certain sectors of the business world that telecommuting is gonna stick,
right,
big time.
And I tell you what, I would not want to be in the business of owning office space right now, because I think footprints are gonna shrink.
That's why I'm negotiating.
Shrink a lot. Anyway, off topic. My hope is that in particular this decorating craze that we're going through right now, that next year when there are parades, that people will say, you know, we got those decorations, let's decorate the house again.
Yeah.
Because, and, you know, I've been all by myself out in WeMo.
Yes.
We decorate like crazy for Mardi Gras, and you go around and nobody does. Maybe a wreath, maybe a flag, but no, you know, decoration.
No, I think you're spot on. You're describing me. So we're as big of a celebrant of Mardi Gras as I am. And as much as you've known me for the years, we put a flag up.
Mm.
That's what we do, because all the decorations is happening when I go downtown.
Right.
And so this is so use us as an example at our house. We're way more into the decorations of what we're doing around the house.
Excellent.
For Mardi Gras.
Excellent.
And it is a change. And let's just talk about some real world stuff. Once we got the stuff, we buy it and we put it in one of those Rubbermaid boxes, we'll bring it out next year, just like we do for Halloween, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Halloween.
Yep.
You know. So that's good. So like in talking to Toomey's, they're selling decorations. So they're busy with that.
Yeah. And I was over at Robert Moore the other day, and he said they had their biggest Christmas ever, because everybody was sticking around, everybody was staying home and things like that. So they're decorating. And so he sold lots of stuff. And he was looking forward to selling a lot of Mardi Gras stuff, too.
He changes it to Robert Moore Mardi Gras Town.
That's when... But they do. They have some nice Mardi Gras stuff. There are plenty of places around town. There's Mardi Gras and Moore on Dauphin Street, and there's Jubilee Gifts out in Daphne. They have some great stuff. She used to have the gift shop at the Admiral.
Okay.
Which was widely known for having, you know, stuff you couldn't find anywhere else.
So people are buying this up. They're decorating their homes. And then I'm sure there's plenty of people just doing it to do it. But then there's these things happening here, and like the porch parade the Yardi Gras and all that.
I got to say, I told my wife.
You and I talked about the drive-by Mardi Gras thing, and I didn't like it when you said it, but yes.
I told my wife early on, I said, you know what? This is all going to be about alternative ways of doing this, and I plan on us being kind of out front there, helping people along and whatnot, but I can't do it. I can't be the idea guy. I'm going to sit back a little bit. And luckily, the way it worked out was I had to keep track of who was canceling. That took up, believe it or not, a lot of my time for a while there.
Yeah.
And some of this stuff started to bubble up while that was going on. And I had to take the attitude of, okay, well, I can't get into that as long as there are still some groups on my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
As long as there are some groups acting like they're going to parade or something. So,
and there was some holdout. There was some holdout.
There were.
Yes.
But it'd be all gone now.
No, I know. There were some holdouts.
Oh, there were definitely some holdouts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it finally took kind of word from the city to say, oh, yeah, no, we're not putting out any permits. You can forget that. So, and that put an end to like the last seven that hadn't said anything up to that point. So I'm watching that, but at the same time, I'm watching and I'm counting on, I was really counting on people. Creative people to say, hey, somebody should do something. And I talked to the woman the other day who started Mobile Mardi Gras Porches or whatever.
Porch Parade. Let's see.
Is it Porch Parade?
It is the Mobile Porch Parade.
Right.
Yes.
And I said, okay, the unfortunate part is you're first.
Yeah.
The fortunate part is you're first. And you know, you got the website, you got the Facebook page, and you're going to get all the attention. And sure enough, she's gotten all the attention. And she complained to me. She goes, I have a full-time job. And I said, yeah, I know. And that's, you know, that's...
Yes.
You're going to have to start getting some people on board with you and start shouldering some of this, because it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And sure enough, I saw her doing an interview just like in the last 24 hours. And she... I could see it on her face, man. She was like, wow, this is just more than I bargained for. But
right.
I knew that stuff was just going to blow up. And it is. It's blowing up. And there's another new effort going on called... It's Mobile Beads. Dang, I forget what they called it. But it's a...
When we go to the news break, our text line will fill up. People will answer our questions.
And it's on the Facebook page, I think. But what they're doing is they're taking beads and they're writing kind of supportive messages on them.
Okay.
It kind of like the rock thing, you know, where people paint rocks and say nice, you know, you're so beautiful. And they just put them in random places. And these folks are putting them in food boxes. And they're talking about maybe hospitals and things like that, with just people who really need them. But, I think they should leave a few just around town as well. I think that would be really cool. But there's more and more ideas bubbling up. And there's just room for all of it.
Yeah, and it's then of course the other part of this question we'll talk about when we get back is like what do we keep when we are back to having parades and all that stuff. We're talking to Steve Joynt, Mobile Mask, of course the magazine in stores now. You got to check out the Facebook page as well, and more talk with Steve when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey. He's been doing this for 13 years now in Mobile and Baldwin County, and, doing like the logo says, getting rid of junk. You got junk, he comes and gets it gone. Now, one thing to think about is all the different places you may have these issues, because often you think, okay, the guest room that turned into a junk room, like a giant junk drawer in the house, he can deal with that. He can deal with storage units that you don't know what's in there, but you pay every month. Wouldn't you like to have that cash flow back? In addition, though, big stuff, and this is one of the things that Trey always like, remind folks, Sean, that I can do the big stuff, like, got the giant trampoline or swing set in the backyard. Your youngest child's in graduate school. You know, I mean, let it go. Get that grass growing. He can come get big things like that. He's also said that they'll be out there cleaning out a storage shed in the backyard of junk. And then the homeowner has said, it'd be great if the whole storage shed was gone. Trey and his crew can do that as well. So you got junk. You don't know how you're going to move the stuff, how you're going to get rid of it. I do. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and it's easy to make an appointment. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And I love this, too. They work with you like because they realize you have a life and a job and family and all that. They say, you know, what day works for you? They find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you, and that's when they come to your house. Nice. And they quote you a price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done right then. So check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call them at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, continue our conversation. We're talking about Mardi Gras because Mardi Gras has not been canceled. Parades are, balls have, but Mardi Gras is not canceled. And Steve Joynt with the Mobile Mask agrees with me, right?
Oh, sure. That's been my mantra, man.
Yes. You can't cancel Mardi Gras.
You can't cancel Mardi Gras.
And you're also giving one of your great talks coming up, next month?
February 10. It's a Wednesday, I believe. It's Learning Lunch at the History Museum. It's going to be what we call a hybrid presentation where I'm going to actually be there at the History Museum. It'll be like kind of like being Jimmy Fallon. I'll be there on the stage with about 10 people in front of me instead of an actual crowd. We usually we pack the place.
Right. You can't do that now.
Can't do that now. And I'm going to give a talk on it's not just, you know, you've heard we've canceled Mardi Gras before, but
yes.
I go into the, you know, how was it done? What did they do during? How did they come out of it? I mean, you know, we're all wondering, what is it going to be like on the other side? Well, we can look at what it was on the other side for these folks. Like after World War I, it's kind of funny because about a month before Mardi Gras, after World War I, there was a story that said, well, there's just going to be one parade that's going to have elements of this and that, you know. And then by the time you got up to Mardi Gras weekend, it's like, oh, no, babe, we're doing it all the way we did before. You know, everybody's got their own separate parade and whatnot. That whole one parade idea, forget about that. We are going whole hog.
Yeah, that has this pent-up effect. Because I know I was talking to Chief Slack about this and talking about, like, after World War II, the number of new crews that came on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was a crew boom. We had a baby boom, but we also had a crew boom back then. So we've done this before.
Yep.
And you're going to give us the history.
That's kind of the title of the talk is that we've been here before.
So that's February 10. And you said you're going to do it with a limited number in person, but are you going to do something?
Yeah, they're going to
Zoom this or online?
They're going to video it and put it on live on Facebook, and I think you'll be able to see it taped on Facebook.
Okay.
I'll put out more details as I learn them.
Okay. But February 10th is when...
That's what you want to circle. That's when it's doing it live.
So we're talking about these different things, too, that may be... I mean, you're doing the analog, which is good, of what's happening just in the community at large. You know, what things, new trends may have happened during this pandemic, and then what we carry forward. On the Mardi Gras side, your feeling is it's the decorating the house...
I hope so. I think there's every reason to believe that will carry forward. I mean, I've heard from people who never did Mardi Gras trees before. Really? You never did? No, they never did Mardi Gras trees before, and now they're doing them. So I hope that continues as well. I hope each individual person who started doing a tree this year, that they keep on doing it. You know, the funny thing is that as much as this, can I say sucks?
Yeah.
This sucks... this is a Mardi Gras that we're going to remember.
Right.
Our kids are going to remember. And if you got grandkids right now, they're going to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they remember it for good reasons.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of up to us to make sure that they remember it for good reasons.
True. I look at it.
Don't everybody start crying yet.
Yeah, it's eye sweats going on. But Robert here on the text line says, how about a moon pie scavenger hunt around different parts of Mobile, downtown, midtown, West Mobile, etc.?
Okay. That's the thing, though. If you've got an idea, you can put an idea out there. Maybe people will do it for you. Or if you get an idea, do it. Just do it. Start a Facebook page and do it.
People are saying, yeah, man, there's so many ideas. And so, yeah, and you're right. In today, in 2021, you have the ability to get something. The grassroots can spread pretty quickly.
Right. And I've already got a shortish list of stuff I know I'm going to have to cover.
Okay.
Stuff that's happening.
Yes.
I'm not going to talk about it.
Dang it.
I'm not going to
come in here.
But I'm not going to promote these things, and here's why. Because as soon as you promote it, a ton of people are going to show up, and that's going to defeat the purpose. All of these things need to stay small. I will tell you one thing.
Things are going to happen, though. You know that things are going to happen.
Yes, February 6th. We already put this on the page. February 6th at Toomey's, they're going to have it's a very odd event. It's going to be a class in making a king cake candle. And these are very...
Seems very flammable to me.
These king cake candles... It's not a king cake turned into a candle. I think it's king cake scented. Okay. And it's purple, green, and gold, and it's in a jar. And they can't keep these things on the shelves. I mean, people are buying them like crazy. So they're gonna give you all the materials and whatnot. It's going to be like one of these classes of make a such and such.
Right.
Where you're going to make the candle. But they're going to have Excelsior Band there. They're going to have, you know, food and stuff. And it's going to be a whole thing.
February 6th.
February 6th. But you have to buy tickets.
Okay.
So there's an event thing on Facebook. It's on our Facebook page. You can get
which
to it
is?
There, which is Mobile Mask. And you can get to it there. It costs, but you know, good things do.
Yeah. So you go there, you can book it, you get your are you gonna leave with the finished product or you just
yes,
learn?
No, okay. Yeah. You're not only gonna have the knowledge. See, this is what I think. You get the knowledge of how to make one of these things, which means if you can get the materials again, you can make them all day long.
Right.
But you also get to take one home.
Good.
The one that you made.
I'll bring the talented family members, because any arts and crafts I have done as an adult look worse than the ones I did when I was nine. So, all right, remind folks too, pick up a copy of the Mobile Mask. Where do they do that? Everywhere.
Right. Well, okay, there's the answer. Start with the website. Go to mobilemask.com, click on the magazine, and you'll get a list of all the stores where you can find it.
Okay.
Divided conveniently into areas of town and even Baldwin County.
All right. So location near you. Pick up the Mobile Mask. Do that to keep up with the Facebook page. And it seems like, I know it seems cliche, but more than ever, because there may be late-breaking information about things happening.
Constantly.
He comes in here with this and doesn't pay it off. You're going to pay it off at some point. We're talking about what's happening out there. All right. Steve, thank you, man.
Thank you.
All right. Coming right back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Phone number, text line open for you at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Y'all say hello to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. What's up, Angelo?
Oh, man, just another busy day here at the shop. You doing all right today?
Yeah, I'm doing good. And you've been busy this week normally with, like, gift items, but also precious metals questions. And you give me an education over time on this. Can you just give, like, a little sampling of what's happening with precious metals prices this week, kind of what it means? Is there a trend? I mean, help me. Educate me.
Well, it's interesting. Two things are happening right now. Metal prices are slowly creeping upwards, and the premium, the price over spot, is slowly starting to creep upwards as well. And the lead times on getting product in is starting to stretch out. So that tells me that not only is there a little bit of a run on gold and silver right now, but it looks like it's going to continue probably for a month or two at the very minimum, because right now lead times are stretched out into about a month out on getting silver in stock. Now, that being said, we ran through this earlier this year, and we have stuff scheduled already for the next 2 months. So I've got plenty of gold and silver in stock, lots and lots more coming. And a lot of people are comparing this to the beginning of the Obama administration, where gold and silver prices went from really reasonably priced. Silver was around $15 an ounce. And within a couple of years, it was up to almost $50 an ounce. A lot of people are expecting something similar to happen during this administration.
All right. So, and there is a difference. I mean, you've talked about the difference being gold and silver, obviously the price, but some of the headroom, is that the right term that it has?
Yeah, there's a lot of room on both sides. A lot of it really depends on what your mindset is, what you're thinking. That's why we encourage people to come into the shop, talk to us, maybe go onto the website, listen to the podcast. Obviously, listen to us on 106.5 every Tuesday night. And then when you come in, talk to us about what you're thinking. Some people are worried about bartering and trading. You know, things get really crazy. Some people want to travel far, far away and carry their wealth with them. So depending on what your mindset is, you may want to get a very different product from somebody else. And we can help with all of those and answer all those questions.
Good stuff. Give people directions to come see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street, right between Whataburger and Little Flower Catholic School. You can always find us online, mobilebaycoins.com. And, of course, listen to that podcast there. Maybe you'll answer some of your questions before you get here.
Yeah, y'all always do that. Angelo, I appreciate it. Tell everybody I said hi, and we'll be seeing you soon.
Sounds good. Have a good weekend, Tom.
Hey, you too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And really, on the silver versus gold thing that he told me years ago, and I've watched it, and I've got a little silver here and there. Like, I know there's people on the gold, but there's, like, a lot more boot. For somebody like me on a budget like me, mine, I can do a lot more in silver and watch it move than gold. All right, so check it out. But, I mean, they do. They'll sit down and just educate you there at the shop. And Steve Joint, Mobile Mask, is stuck around. Because I wanted you to hold over because you said something during the news break. And I had opened up the show talking about the passing of Hank Aaron, who died today, age 86. Just part of the history of Mobile, part of the baseball fabric of Mobile that's so huge and one that I don't think gets talked about enough anymore, you know, our heritage there. But Hank Aaron and Mardi Gras, and you talked about that people can read more about this over at the Facebook page.
Right, yeah. I put a post up before I headed out this way. It proves that I can basically relate anything to Mardi Gras.
But I had never heard this before. Right. I was just ignorant.
Hank, about 18 years before he broke the Babe's record, which, of course, is kind of the thing everybody says in the same sentence with his name now. But before he got that famous, he was the honorary mayor of MAMGA in 1956.
Wow.
And to explain to you what mayor is.
Yeah, because it's not it's not.
They don't do that anymore. Right. They don't do mayor anymore. It became, in 1972, mayor became grand marshal. And if you know anything about MAMGA, they've got a king, they've got a queen, and they've got a grand marshal. Yeah. I mean, it's a big honor for whoever they select.
Right.
It's not necessarily a member of MAMGA that they select
could
to be the grand marshal.
But they have,
their big ball is the grand marshal's ball. Right. It's a position of honor and very highly thought of in MAMGA. But before it was grand marshal, it was called mayor. And they created the position in 1938 because they wanted their king, King Alexis I, to be able to have all of the honors, all of the amenities that the white king, King Felix III,
okay,
got. And one of the things Felix III gets every year is a key to the city presented to him by the mayor. Well, whether they were actually flatly turned down or whether they just assumed that there was no way that the mayor of Mobile was going to deign in 1938 to present a key of the city to the African-American king of Mardi Gras, yeah. I don't know. But they decided that in order to be able to do that particular ceremony, they were going to have to create their own mayor.
So that's why it was the mayor to be able to present the key to Alexis.
Right. And in the earliest days, it was actually an election. There would be four or five people up for mayor, and there would be jars at the community center. And people, if I remember right, the first year, the people voted with nickels, but then they went to slips of paper a few years later. I think Hank, by the time Hank was mayor, it was just they asked him. They selected him for the honor. He was made an honorary member of MAMGA, and in 2017 he was the featured speaker at the Royal Luncheon of MAMGA. So he was in contact with that organization for a number of years.
But he was mayor in 1956.
Right, and I put up his 1956 baseball card with that item because it was the only picture I could find from 56.
So this is, if people read more, they go, oh, there it is right there. Oh, my gosh. It is a baby.
Yeah. He's a kid.
I mean, a baby.
I saw a picture earlier today of, I think.
This is on Facebook for Mobile Mask.
Mobile Mask. I was searching around and I found a picture of supposedly Hank at the train station, the Mobile train station, taking his first trip to Atlanta. And you talk about a baby, boy. He was just a kid in oversized clothes that he was supposed to grow into. I'm sure
it's this is why. I mean, just looking at the artist rendering here for the baseball card, I can only imagine that picture from the train station.
Right, right.
But so yes, you have proven you can make any story. But it's not a stretch there. That's he was mayor. He was the MAMGA mayor.
It was a big deal. And, you know, I relate it to, you know, the Zulu organization in New Orleans, which is the preeminent African-American Mardi Gras organization there. They made Louis Armstrong their king one year. And so they had throughout their history, that's their celebrity king. Hank Aaron undoubtedly is the Louis Armstrong of MAMGA. He was their big celebrity mayor / grand marshal so far.
It's education you get, and Steve delivers it to us. And reminder, too, before we head to the break here, Mobile Mask, people want to get that Mardi Gras education, you put it in here.
Go out and get you one at the store. If you're not close to any stores, you can get it online and order it, and I'll mail it to you.
I love the artwork here. Just fantastic.
Ginger Wo-Chan, she is awesome.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Are those ever available as like a full size, like prints?
She might. You never know. But she does. Go to her. I mean, heck, you can buy some originals from Ginger. Her stuff is highly affordable. And all you have to do is look her up on Facebook and say, ooh, I want one of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm going to strut that information around all weekend. You know, now people listen to the show, be like, yeah. I heard you got that from Steve, but I'm still going to use that info.
Try to impress
family and friends on that. Appreciate your time. We'll be talking more between now and Fat Tuesday.
Happy Mardi Gras, y'all.
Happy Mardi Gras, indeed. All right. We're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on this Friday. We'll check in with the news. Also, get Dr. Bill's update for the weekend. I know if you heard the weekend weather scale of this morning at 7:30. We got a good day and a bad day. Dalton was confused whether that was Saturday or Sunday. We'll get more from Doc coming up.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcoming back in studio, Ben Kearns. Too long since you've been here, man. Good to have you back.
Good to be back. Thanks, Sean.
With Taylor Martino, and I think about this because, I mean, folks hear my discussions with Ed Rowan, Richard Taylor, Steve Martino, Ruth Lichtenfeld, your whole team there. But I remember you and I were talking about last time you were here, we were talking about car accident cases. And it seems like you obviously have stuck with that because that you are a specialist for Taylor Martino doing car accident cases.
That is my specialty. And
And, you know, I really like taking on the insurance companies that don't want to give my clients fair value for their cases. You know, I think that most plaintiff's lawyers, most personal injury lawyers kind of have one of those David versus Goliath complexes where we like representing the little guy taking on the insurance company. And that's what's fun to me. And I think that's the kind of lawyer you need.
You talk about the Goliath there in the insurance companies. I think that may be an understatement. You look at the size of these companies versus an individual, a local team here. Now, y'all have a lot of experience, but if you look at just numbers of people versus that insurance company, it could be daunting.
The insurance companies are huge and they have law firm after law firm defending their cases. So I think what people need is a firm like Taylor Martino that has the resources to serve its clients and take on these companies. You know, we got access to all the latest forensic technology to investigate cases, and we routinely hire experts in all different fields of study in order to help our clients prove their cases and prove their injuries.
Man, I'm going to dig into that forensic stuff here in a second because it really is interesting to me. Y'all are going to want to hear this. But okay, so you are a specialist for these car accidents for Taylor Martino. So give me an example of what that means. Can you kind of like walk us through, you know, a day in the life of Ben Kearns?
Absolutely. So, you know, to start the day, you know, my biggest concern is getting in touch with clients, finding out what their needs are. I've got to negotiate cases. I've got to argue. You got to like to argue to do this job. And it makes it fun. If you're that sort of person, then, you know,
you're the right personality for this job.
I like to think so. Okay. So, you know, and negotiations are like that. They're not easy. It's hard work, but you got to be tough and you got to be able to get in there and fight with big boys.
I got to imagine that doing this as especially and doing this over time really helps. I mean, it's just like anything. You've built that muscle for dealing with these insurance companies and protecting your clients.
Right. And, you know, I've been really lucky that I've gotten to work under Richard Taylor and Ed Rowan. Richard is, you know, just kind of an all-star and taking on catastrophic injury cases, the big product suits. And Ed is the, you know, he's the 3M earplug guy. And, you know, he's sort of an expert in car wrecks and trucking cases. So everything I know about how to practice law outside of the law itself is what I've gleaned from Ed and Richard.
You're the specialist, but y'all work as an entire team on this. You bring the whole brain trust together.
We do. You know, our lawyers have over 100 years of collective legal experience. And besides the lawyers, we also have a very strong and awesome and large support staff. As soon as a client comes in and leaves the building after the first meeting, we put all our heads together and we work on that case together. So, you know, it's lawyers and support staff together working on the case. And it just feels really good to be part of a team that cares about fighting for clients and has the resources to do that.
Yeah. And those resources, now I'll circle back around to that.
Sure.
You mentioned, so this forensic thing,
sure,
it's fascinating to me. Give us an idea, just a simple version for somebody like me that doesn't do it every day. Like y'all, what do y'all bring to bear on this?
So in the car wreck context or the trucking context, a lot of people don't know this, but all big rig trucks and many of the newer version automobiles have black boxes within them. The black boxes function like an airplane black box.
Okay, we know that thing, right? That they're always trying to get the black box out to show what happened. Okay.
Correct. So if there's an issue on liability, like whether our clients hit their brakes on time and how fast our client was going or how fast the defendant was going, then we can send an expert in and the expert can read the black box and tell us what those measurements were within about 5 to 10 seconds of the time of the wreck. So that's a really cool thing that we do. Another example on the cell phone situation. So, you know, a lot of crashes are caused by distracted driving. That's one of the biggest offenders. So with a cell phone, if we can get our hands on the cell phone that was in the defendant's possession, then we have forensic experts that can go in, study the cell phone, tell, you know, where a person was when they last used the cell phone. They can tell when they sent their last text. They can even read off the cloud if the cell phone is not available in some circumstances.
So somebody who comes to y'all and says, listen, I saw the person texting as they hit me and then they denied it.
Right.
Y'all can prove what the truth is.
If we can get our hands on the phone, then we can have somebody study and prove what the truth is.
So that's that department, all those people brought to bear, that forensic department, that you get that eureka moment that, no, in fact, they were texting then.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I want to talk about how that process works one-on-one as well.
Sure.
Because somebody contacts y'all at Taylor Martino, comes to you, Ben. What's the first thing that happens? You know, I mean, those of us that hadn't been in this situation before, but we're going to have some stats that show a lot of us have. What's the first thing you ask them? What do you do?
So I need a synopsis of what happened in that wreck. I need facts, and I need to know about injuries. We get somebody in. I want to see them face-to-face because okay. I have to get to know my clients. Now, through the course of litigation, we don't always get to see each other face-to-face every day, but we have to maintain contact by phone. But I've got to get to know my client. I've got to get to know that a jury is going to like my client. And I've got to know that I like my client. I also want my client to get to know me and to know what type of law I want to practice.
Let's talk about some stats here in Alabama. Because sure. If y'all think that we're just talking about something that you'll never experience, holy cow, you rolled some of these out for me before we went on the air. Talk about these.
Yeah, so a lot of people are saying nowadays there's less accidents. We don't need to be as concerned. And plaintiff's lawyers, personal injury lawyers, we're very interested in making society safer. We want there to be less accidents, injuries.
Wait a second. What are you going to do, man?
Well, that's what we do. What we do,
you put yourself out of business.
Well, fair enough. But what we do is similar to what DAs, criminal prosecutors, do. We just do it on the civil side. When someone's done something unsafe and caused an injury, then we prosecute that injury and we try to make it so that this type of injury doesn't happen again. This is really big in the car wreck context and it's really big in the products context. But, in 2018, the Drive Safe Alabama report, it reads that a person was injured in a traffic crash every 11 minutes. So every 11 minutes in the state of Alabama.
Not nationally. This is
not
here.
Nationally in the state of Alabama. That's right.
Y'all run those numbers for a second. The odds are pretty strong that we know somebody or we've been that person.
That's right. Just during the COVID crisis, I've seen 3 crashes on the side of the road. And I would have thought there'd been less driving.
Mm-hmm.
But, every 11 minutes someone's injured in the state of Alabama. That means that every 11 minutes an insurance company is telling somebody no or is at best offering only a portion of medical bills. I think that people, victims, need somebody, a lawyer, who's going to go and make them say yes.
Yeah, but that's that David and Goliath thing, right? The Goliath's job is to say no, no, no.
Right.
And you got to change that tune.
Sure. And I'll give you an example of a case where it worked like that. So I had a case, a car wreck client. She was injured pretty bad. She had a mangled knee. She tore her shoulder. She had some low back herniations in a really bad car wreck with bad vehicle damage. So before my client hired me, she couldn't get the insurance company to answer her phone calls. So we sent out a demand and the insurance company, as they normally do, pre-suit, came back with a paltry offer. And it was paltry, especially considering that my client probably needed a couple of surgeries.
Wow.
In addition, she was going through some financial hardship because her credit was being destroyed by the medical bills or just sitting out there in collections. So we decided that enough was enough. We decided to file suit. Now, the insurance companies know Taylor Martino's track record in litigation. So within about 2 weeks after filing suit, we got a policy limits offer on this case.
Well, that's a turnaround.
It was a big turnaround. Now, in addition, my client also had some of her own insurance to go after. She had bad injuries, so we went after it. She got more money as a result. Now, if she had not hired a lawyer, then she would have gotten a paltry offer, only a portion of medical bills, and she wouldn't even have known that she had extra insurance to go after, and she wouldn't have known how to go after it.
Well, because they don't exactly make that information available to those of us out here that are not attorneys like you at Taylor Martino.
All right,
you've gotten a lot of people's attention, Ben, so tell folks how to get in touch with you at Taylor Martino, how to get that appointment.
We hope you don't have to get in touch with us, but if you get injured in a car wreck, give us a call, give Taylor Martino a call, and put us to work for you.
Ben, thank you.
Thank you, Kearns,
with Taylor Martino right here on Mobile.
You can reach Taylor Martino Law Firm online, taylormartino.com. That's taylormartino.com. No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.